The OO Community Radio. My name is Dresden, and today I will be speaking with Rob Savoy of the Rainbow Family. On this episode, we will be talking about how a rainbow gathering comes together.
So sometimes the trick is to be able to state the vision for a group of shared people, and everybody goes, yeah, I can kind of follow that. And if everybody's kind of got the same basic subset of traditional ways of dealing with things. I mean, little boring stuff like, hey, we don't need to yell at people. You know, we can talk politely even when we disagree. You know, like all these little things that help work out conflicts. And so people that kind of believe in traditions, rainbow, of course, being kind of the extreme that way, we love everybody, which often works out the problems because we try to remember that everybody there is our friend.
So it sounds like the events are essentially a tangent of people coming together who are family members and discussing what values they believe in and just essentially spitballing some potentially cool ideas, and enough people get on board behind the idea, then it comes to fruition. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it kind of manifests itself when you kind of state the shared vision and people go, yeah, I like that.
I'm curious to hear what a model gathering would look like in your opinion.
So a model gathering is that every time we sit together for our consensus, whether it's what are we going to make for dinner, where is the gathering going to be, where do we put the medical clinic, like the epitome of a good gathering is every time we have to make a decision, a bunch of amazingly well-minded people get together, talk about it peacefully amongst each other, work out any disagreements about what has to happen, and then achieve complete consensus in a reasonable amount of time and go off and do it. And you see an awful, awful lot of that at gatherings. For example, if you ever try to cook food for 1,500 people, so there's a certain amount of coordination that has to happen to cook food for 1,500 people, because you're trying to cook like 40 gallons of rice without burning it. And stuff like that.
So, in addition to feeding everyone, what other responsibilities does a gathering
need
to meet?
Well, so the people that do a kitchen at a rainbow gathering sit down and have what we call kitchen council, and they all talk about it. Okay, hey, we got to put the rice on at noon so that it's ready by dinner time. And somebody goes, hey, I'll go do that. Like, that's what I feel like doing. And they work it out amongst themselves. And so what happens is that this often looks like organization, but actually it's not organization, it's coordination.
Because then you're declaring this is the purpose of this team, and if you want to
be involved. So coordination is we all talk amongst each other, we sort of self-choose our tasks, and as soon as all the tasks that need to be done are agreed on by people that are going to go do that, then it happens. Organize is when I go, hey, you're going to go do this, and you're going to go do that.
So what I'm thinking of is, what are the goings-on of a rainbow event? So once everything's settled, once everyone has found the responsibility and the event comes together, what's the atmosphere of the event? Is there any ceremonial like occasions that have to happen at each gathering?
Yep. So I'll be honest, as an infrastructure guy, I have a tendency to think about the infrastructure that makes the event happen, but there's actually a lot of pretty awesome stuff. So, of course, the big thing is the 4th of July. We have what we call Interdependence Day. And basically we start when the sun comes up, a morning of silence, nobody talks, it's pretty awesome. And then thousands and thousands of people start gathering in this big meadow holding hands and kind of waiting more or less what we call rainbow noon, which is roughly when the sun's above your head. And then basically at rainbow noon, everybody starts oming usually for quite a while. You ever seen like 6,000 people om together? It's pretty amazing. And stuff like that. And then basically people start to play instruments and people make noise and it's like a big celebration and there's lots of really good food and it's kind of fun. There's a ton of music at rainbow gatherings. There's a group that called Granola Funk Theater that actually build a complete stage, and a couple of times during the gathering they have a talent show. And then sometimes they have a no-talent show and stuff like that. So there's often a lot of music at gatherings. And those are kind of the bigger events. A lot of the kitchens, a kitchen is kind of a small community. Many of the kitchens have their own special events, right? So there used to be a group of people from New York City, and they would basically do sushi on July 5th for 3,000 people.
So it sounds like the one itinerary point for a rainbow gathering is that rainbow noon, people chant Om together. But then after that, it seems like it's pretty freeform and improvised, and whatever you want to be a part of, like you start it yourself just on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people, they're kind of, you know, for the big celebration. I mean, a lot of what Rainbow is about is actually just doing stuff together. And whether we're, you know, chanting on the 4th of July or whether I'm, you know, making dinner for people and stuff, I think we're building community. And a lot of times community is built by the activities that we do together.
So in addition to all of these, this range of camps and this range of workshops and this freeform style of meeting together in a festival ground, in what other ways do you feel like a Rainbow Family event differs from other festival gatherings?
So, you know, as a festival promoter myself, I think one of the biggest things about it is that at a rainbow gathering, there's actually nobody in charge. And I guess the biggest difference is when I'm at a festival, I'm the guy in charge. and so I think one of the beauties to me of a rainbow gathering is that when it puts itself together, and it puts itself together in a healthy, fun, safe manner, it's pretty amazing. That it happens like that. I don't know about you, but music festivals, they take a lot of work.
How do you ensure with like a group of 20,000 people plus that everyone in attendance wants to contribute to the atmosphere and is in alignment with what the Rainbow Family stands for?
So you can't make anything happen. Your only ability is to influence people in a positive direction. And there are sometimes people that come to tear things down. There are definitely people that come to take out whatever their weird personal agendas are. I could go on and on and on about it and stuff like that. But one thing about the rainbow is that it's kind of a self-dampening effect, I guess. And we do have real problems. I mean, we have had, you know, theft and assaults. I mean, any group of people that large has its own problems. But one of the things about the Rainbow Gathering is we've always dealt with that in our own way, which has actually worked reasonably well.
Can you explain this dealing with problems style?
So we have a group that is roughly called Shantasena, and basically the concept is that anybody is Shantasena. So let's say you see somebody kicking their dog, and you might say, Shantasena, at the top of your lungs, and a bunch of people might come by and say, hey, what's up? And you might say, this guy over here is kicking his dog a whole bunch. And somebody might go over and say, hey, dude, why are you kicking your dog? And he might just go say, I don't know, maybe his girlfriend left him or whatever, you know. But anyway, we try to work things out in a non-confrontational manner.
Because if someone could just yell Shantasena and trust that people in the audience will come to their aid, it does feel like there's a ubiquitous sense of, like, everyone has their own responsibility in keep maintaining the flow of the festival. Do you think that's accurate?
So I think that you just nailed it, and that's kind of it. Like, almost everybody feels responsible for creating a positive, good environment. And you'll see the same thing in a good music festival. When everybody feels that it's up to them to make the proper decisions in the right mode, it actually, things work out pretty well, surprisingly. Even when you have people who are there for the exact opposite reason, but they're a minority.
Right, because the people who are in the majority can say Shantasena, and they'll have a group of backers who will support what the Rainbow Family stands for.
Yeah, basically. And when we have to deal with slightly more serious issues, you know, assaults and things like that, you know, we still manage to deal with it in a reasonably non-confrontational manner. There are definitely occasions of violence at rainbow gatherings, even though we don't believe in violence.
Got it. And so if the Rainbow Family doesn't believe in violence, I imagine that there are some commandments, so to speak, in regards to the Rainbow Family. What do you think those commandments would be?
So it's hard to say. The trick is that you don't fix violence with violence. We often focus more on looking for the option for healing within a problem than retribution and revenge. Sometimes we have had I've seen some amazing things over the years where the person who's, let's say, really mad at somebody who stole something from their tent when the person who stole something from their tent explains why they stole it from their tent and everybody talks about it. And sometimes they're like, if you really needed that jacket because you were cold, I would have given it to you. You know, so a lot of times you'd be surprised. A lot of things do work themselves out when the accusers and the accused sit down in a group of people to help keep things calm. It actually works out pretty well.
So one of the commandments, it sounds like, is having a heart-forward approach to conflict.
Yeah, and always looking for healing and trying to support a wide diversity of you know, people's thoughts and motivations.
Speaking of supporting a wide diversity, what does the demographic look like for the Rainbow Family? Is there a specific kind of person that the Rainbow Family speaks to or resonates with?
So you would be surprised. It is the most insanely diverse group of people you could ever imagine. I see people that, of course, you know, fit the stereotypes of your average hippie. And then there's, like, homeless people there. And there's attorneys there. And then there's doctors there that run medical schools. I mean, it's like, it really is kind of a cross-section of America. I mean, I have billionaire friends who go to the Rainbow Gathering. This one friend of mine goes, you know, when I'm feeding people dinner, he says it's way better than sitting in a board meeting at work. And so I think that it's really hard to say. I think what people come to gatherings for, the thing that unifies everybody regardless of their kind of background, is they're looking for that sense of community, that sort of sense of family, and that sort of rough sense of belonging to something that motivates them to live a good, positive, you know, life. I think we like to think of people come to the gathering and take that home with them, you know. Like when they go home from the gathering and stuff, instead of doing something that might be like yelling at somebody for something stupid, you might go, you know, that's not really necessary. You hope that people adopt a slightly more community-oriented view of plugging into the world. And a lot of people that, when they said they leave the gatherings, they go back and, you know, they do run nonprofits and, you know, a lot of good stuff for the public. I used to call it going to a gathering every year is where I charge my batteries with community so that when I go home, I'm really still focused on, you know, why I do some of the other things in my life.
Mm. That's really interesting. You mentioned at the end there how you felt like modern life would drain you, and the atmosphere of the Rainbow Family and the gatherings recharge you. In what ways does modern society drain you, and then Rainbow Family replenish what was drained?
So I've spent most of my adult life in various phases of running a business, and sometimes it gets hard. I mean, running a business, dealing with payroll, contracting, all that stuff, you can sometimes develop a kind of a hard view about people. And I go to the gathering, and my belief in human beings, generosity and stuff is kind of reborn. And so I find a lot of times is that gatherings help me go back to my work world and go, hey, I'm going to be polite. I'm going to be focused. There's no need for me to be stressed out about whatever.
And I believe in the sense of community, and especially the ideology surrounding the community. One of the things I read is that people within the Rainbow Family and within the gatherings often refer to the outside world as Babylon. Are you like,
yeah.
Is this something that you could explain further?
So yeah, because basically, you know, Babylon, you know, there's a lot of various religious terminology and stuff floating around gatherings and stuff. But yeah, I mean, in a sense, there's a bit where the Rainbow Gathering is a spiritual gathering of people. And so Babylon is anything that kind of would be distracting us from following that spirit. But typically it refers to anything that's outside the boundaries of the gathering.
And so what are these ideologies that exist outside the boundaries of the gathering?
Well, I mean, like the basic things like is like hardcore commercialism, you know, is kind of like a Babylon thing, right? So like in a Rainbow Gathering, as I said, somebody needs a jacket, you're probably going to give them yours. You know, in the Babylon, you go out and somebody wants a jacket, and they're going to say, hey, give me a whole bunch of money. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff where we're attempting to build a better parallel community that runs kind of parallel to the rest of mainstream society.
Because Babylon has such a strong religious connotation, is the Rainbow family religiously oriented in any direction?
So, some people would claim so, and some people would say that we're a religion. I actually think of us more of a spiritual movement. And to me, religion is when a spiritual movement gets really fossilized in dogma and beliefs and things like that and stuff. And so since Rainbow is not really dogmatic and stuff, I think we've never been more than just spiritually focused.
Do you think the movement of the Rainbow family is picking up steam?
So I think actually that a lot of what we've been following for the last almost 50 years has actually been absorbed into mainstream society, Babylon, so to speak. Because I think the focus that people come to gatherings, build community, and go home and try to be a positive force in their communities, I think we actually have succeeded in changing the world, not so much through the gathering itself, but through how people have come to gatherings and been inspired to go do things. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, there was no such thing as vegetarians, and, you know, if you had a roach in your ashtray, you know, you went to federal jail for 15 years and stuff. Things are different. I mean, you look at basic society. We're talking about the Green Deal, which is basically an environmental policy that most rainbows would say, yeah, let's go do it. You know, marijuana is legal in multiple states in this country. And so I think that we've had our impacts on society.
Yeah. So these ripples became waves. And even though they're hard to trace, like, these are the same values that the Rainbow family stood for. And now we're seeing
yes,
it
the
more.
The rainbow's apparent. Doing these things. But, you know, I mean, as an old hippie, we have changed the world. Mm-hmm. Much more of what is now passes for mainstream American beliefs. If you look back 30 or 40 years ago, they made fun of, and now they're, like, typical.
So obviously I'm someone that's interested in replicating the essence of the Rainbow family and the types of gatherings that were put together as a result. What advice would you give for someone interested in replicating that essence?
So here's the silly thing is, it's kind of out of your control, so realize that right up front. Because you can't make it happen. You can only enable it to make itself happen. And I think that the biggest problem is you probably saw all the news about Woodstock 50, right, that basically fell apart.
Right.
And stuff like that. I mean, as people get overly commercialized, it's a great way to destroy your festival. People start wanting to make money, and then suddenly their decisions get to be made on how much money they're going to make rather than putting on a good show and all that other kinds of stuff like that. And the problem with running a festival is it's actually, unlike a rainbow gathering, somebody's actually in charge. And it's kind of stressful as an organizer because you don't always really know if things are going to work out.
Sure.
What I've learned is that if enough people are there to make it a good event, a lot of stuff gets handled at a level that you never deal with.
Do you mind explaining the difference further between an organizer and a focalizer?
So an organizer is like when I was running a computer business. I sit down and I tell people what to do. A focalizer says, here's what has to happen. How are we going to accomplish this? And the focalizer might be more experienced. You know, the focalizer is going to say, you know, we need to start the rice at noon, and it takes 20 gallons of water to make 40 gallons of rice. And everybody goes, cool, thanks, I got the information, I can go do this. And so I think that's the difference, is that an organizer kind of tells people what to do, and a focalizer motivates people to do the exact same things. You know, stay focused on the end goal. The end goal should be building a community of people that, you know, leave that event and are inspired to have continuing positive impact on the world. That's kind of a big thing, but that's, to me, that's kind of the goal, and then that's what gets Rainbow Family and other like-minded folks to really plug in and make that happen.
It sounds like a reverse engineering. You start with what you want the community to be and like how you want people to feel after the festival, and then you work your way backwards to figuring out how that festival comes together.
And building community when there's some kind of hard pressure just means, as I said, the harder you work together, the tighter your community is. And so, you know, when you have these problems and people come in and they're kind of negative all the time, and obviously when people that are negative a lot usually means they want everybody to do things their way, which is not very community-focused. And yeah, you wind up supporting each other and hope it goes on. And I think some of my other events I've been associated with for a long time, they kind of all follow that style, which is, you know, a small core group of people can influence everybody around them to try to create the best positive event they can.
And not only the best possible event they can, but also make a declarative statement of what a community looks like when it comes together and celebrates inclusive values. You mentioned earlier how people are trying to be focalizers instead of organizers, contributors instead of consumers. You have people who are actively trying to give to the community rather than seeing what they can take from it. And I think that's a very special thing that you found with the Rainbow Family and the gatherings that the family hosts.
And the trick is to get a group of like-minded people together, whether they call themselves Rainbow Family or not, interested in making a really awesome event in a really fun style.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway message. And Rob, I want to thank you for coming out today and talking to me about how the Rainbow Family operates. I really appreciate you taking the time to discuss this with me. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.